This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
People continue to just murder now all the three of us about the spelling of the name Bert. Bert Blylevin, former Pirate.
Why all three of us?
Yeah, what did we do? What did me and Doran do?
Callis, because you're guilty by association. Doran, because someone writes, how the bleep does Doran not know who Bert and Ernie is?
I do know who Bert and Ernie is.
Well, you can't tell them apart, man.
I don't know who is who.
You know,
Callis, you just admitted you didn't know them apart either.
Right. I agree. I know. I know how to spell it.
Why are you torturing me and Doran for no reason?
I'm not torturing anybody. I'm saying we're all in this together. We're getting murdered on the text line.
Now we're in it together.
I don't think we're in it together. Like,
I just read someone who dropped the F-bomb about you not knowing who Bert and Ernie is.
I know who Bert. I don't know who's Bert and who's Ernie.
I was going to say.
Did you?
No.
Did Callis? No.
Yes, I did. I knew the difference between the two.
Yeah, you did.
Texter, doesn't Crowley have kids? I'm not sitting there like with it all spelled out. Well, you watch Sesame Street. It's Bert and Ernie. I didn't know how to spell it.
You don't spend quality time with your kids?
Forgive me.
What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
How old are they?
5 and 1, my kids.
Bert and Ernie.
Oh, I don't. They're puppets, dude. Ray Fittipaldo joins us now. He is brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Hello, Ray. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Ernie is the orange Muppet, and Bert is the yellow Muppet.
I'm colorblind, Ray. They look the same.
You know how all puppets look the same, right?
I swear I thought that they were the same. Why wouldn't they be the same?
I just can't get over, because it's Ray, and he's the nicest guy in the world, and Ray's got this like Troy Polamalu-esque voice, and he goes, this is the yellow puppet, and that one's, I'm not even retaining the information.
Hey, the 1970s, you had Mr. Rogers at 11:30.
Yep.
Sesame Street at noon. Electric Company at 1 o'clock. Must watch TV.
Lost Man Electric Company. I don't know what that is.
Me neither, man.
That's
oh, man. Morgan Freeman was in Electric Company.
Oh, was he really? Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing puppets and doing these things before I became a movie star.
Can we just not? We got to move on. Ray, the Steelers, they're bringing in Shedeur Sanders for a visit tomorrow. They've had Jackson Dart in. They had dinner with Jalen Milroe. It's starting to feel pretty real to me. I wonder where you come down on this. Their chances of taking a quarterback at 21.
Well, I mean, it seems like it's a great bet that they're going to take a quarterback. I'm still not sold on 21. I think it's definitely in play, though. And I think this is why the top 30 visits are so important. And they got 13 left. So as you look at it right now, Dart in last week, Sanders coming in this week, they haven't had any of the top D-line targets in yet. Walter Nolan hasn't been in, Derek Harmon hasn't been in, and Kenneth Grant hasn't been in. So
they missed out on Grant at the pro day too.
Well, I mean, I know they weren't there for the pro day, but did they still take him out to dinner the night before? I'm still a little bit, I don't know 100% if they still went out there and did that part of the trip or if they just skipped it totally because of the Rodgers visit. And really, the only D-line, first round D-line target that we know for sure is going to come in is Shamar Stewart. And Shamar Stewart is half a D-lineman, half an edge guy. So, and he slimmed down at the combine to be, I think he wants to be an edge in the NFL. He weighed in at 267 at the combine.
Yeah.
So,
from a fit standpoint,
Yeah. So, I mean, that's happening this week. I don't know if it's today, tomorrow, or Friday, but that was reported that it's happening. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to put quarterback in the conversation. I've been D-line all along, but let's see how these last dozen or so visits play out. But I could certainly get on the quarterback train if none of those top D linemen come in.
Well, Ray, say it is quarterback at 21, and it probably would be Shador Sanders or Jackson Dart. Now, I don't think it would be Milroe. That's just me. Are you sold on them as NFL quarterbacks that could have potential to be really good?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been pretty consistent on this. I'm not in love with this quarterback's class, but I don't think there's a whole heck of a lot of difference between Cam Ward and Shador Sanders. I mean, Sanders isn't going to wow you with anything, but he's a solid solid passer. He's accurate. I know he doesn't have a great arm. He's got experience. And if you listen to some of the draft analysts out there, they say he's got really good processing skills, which is a huge part of the evaluation for NFL teams, that this guy actually knows how to read defenses, where a lot of these quarterbacks – come into the NFL now and they don't. So that's one important box that he has checked there. You know, the athleticism isn't great. The arm isn't great, but he's just one of those guys who I think is probably, you know, a good second round pick in most years, but you guys know quarterbacks get pushed up into the first round all the time. That's what's going to happen again.
Can people stop texting in about the Bert and Ernie, please? Because I have a compulsion to read the text line, and I am so distracted over here, and I can't not chase the shiny object. And this one for the colorblind among us. Ernie has the round head. Bert got the elongated head.
That's what I like. I knew that, but I just didn't know who was who. Like, so wait, Ernie has elongated?
Bert does.
Bert looks like he would have the round head.
Bert got the long head. All right, Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Ray, do you think one of those guys will be there at 21?
I mean, that's hard to say. I mean, it seems like in the last couple of weeks that you have heard more about Sanders not going in the top five. And once the Giants and the Browns reportedly were out on him, then it kind of fell to, okay, who else needs a quarterback? The Saints are, I think, sitting at 9. The Saints need a quarterback, so they could take one of those guys. You know, before the Steelers, you got a team like the Colts. I think the Colts pick at 14. You know, they potentially could need a quarterback with everything that's happened there with Richardson. So I don't think it's a great bet that he would be there at 21. But after the Saints and the Colts, and I don't know, maybe the Jets, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of teams in between that actually could use a first-round pick on a quarterback.
Ray, I think it's less than 1% chance, but that's just me. Other people think that there's a higher percentage chance of this happening. Percentage chance that George Pickens gets traded during the draft.
Oh, I think it's higher than 1%. I'm not saying it's going to happen, Doran, but I just think that if they can get a second-round pick for him, if there's one team out there, and it only takes one, but if there's one team out there that wants to give you a second-round pick for George Pickens, I would do that in a heartbeat. And I would turn around and get a receiver at some point. You know, it doesn't have to be with that second-round pick. You can still get a receiver in the third round. But I just think that would set you up for down the road. I know 2024 on paper could look pretty good with George Pickens, but if you want to plan for the future at all, and let's face it, you're probably going to have a new quarterback, and DK's going to be here for four or five years. I think planning for the future might be the route to go.
So I'm not looking at the text, but then Callis can't help himself. Someone called in off the air, and he felt the need to say this in my ear, that Ernie is the rubber ducky guy, just so we clear all that up. Ray, tonight is the big night at for the Pat McAfee Show. Is today the day we find out about Rodgers?
You know, when Rodgers came in for that Friday visit, we got some intelligence that on Thursday night that something was going down there.
Ooh.
But we couldn't really confirm that and write that until Friday morning. I haven't heard anything this time about Rodgers flying in or Rodgers being in town. So at this point, guys, listen, I mean, McAfee and Rodgers have the means to do it without anyone knowing. You know, I mean, there could be a private plane involved that we don't know about. But with the Steelers, I know I had about 12 to 18 hours notice that it was happening, and I just haven't heard anything along those lines now.
Ray, that's good info. I didn't know that you had heard something the night before on Rodgers' visit. Although, I mean, the guy likes dark spaces. You could throw him in a hockey bag, well, you know, put him under the plane.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, you hear stuff all the time, but you don't really feel comfortable writing it.
Sure.
Until certain people tell you definitely that's going to happen. But I haven't even heard, like...
Not even a whisper.
Not even a whisper this time. But, hey, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, though. It definitely could happen.
Ray, appreciate your time. As always, man, thank you, and we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully the Steelers will have a quarterback by then.
All right, guys. See you.
Thanks, Ray.
Sometimes the textures are too funny for the air. It's just stuff you can't read. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We'll react to what Ray had to say.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states. Okay.
Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Tons of stuff there from Ray Fittipaldo in the previous segment to Nashon, and we'll do that in 1 second. We're going to put this Bert and Ernie thing to bed. We're going to put this thing to bed. Someone dropped an F-bomb talking about Burp and Ernie on the text line, and someone followed that up. My dad was the one who dropped the F-bomb about Bert, which is apparently short for Robert, and that's his name. Old geezer took it personally. Excuse me. I got to plead ignorance on this one. I did not know that Bert was short for Robert.
I did not either.
I just thought Bert was its own thing.
Yep.
I just thought Bert was a name, like Paul.
Yep.
Had no clue. And then one more here. Doran was too busy playing sports and being athletic to watch the street. What in the world was Crowley's excuse? The street.
I watched it.
Where were you back in the day watching the street?
I just didn't know who was who. I still don't know how old them brothers are. Like,
they got to be like 65, 70 years old.
Like, are they living in an apartment whenever they do the shows? Like they're roommates?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And they haven't moved because of rent control.
Or like the odd
probably
couple?
Probably got grandfathered in. You have any idea how much a two-bedroom apartment costs on Sesame Street, dude?
A lot.
You have any idea how much the upcharge is to live next to a vampire that counts? And some jackass harasses you every time you walk in the door from a garbage can? You got to pay a premium for that kind of housing. Takes two incomes, man.
Why does Bert have a unibrow and Ernie doesn't have any eyebrows? What's going on here?
There's too much eyebrow on one dude.
He has a line across his head. And Ernie has no eyebrows. Nothing makes sense today. Nothing.
Got some giant ass bird walking up and down the street.
Yeah.
Got to buy bread to throw it at the thing like he's a duck. Keep him away from your stoop.
This old trash can dude is yelling at everybody.
Now I'm getting reports that Bert got killed off 20 years ago.
No way. You can't just do that, right?
And where does Elmo factor into the whole thing?
Elmo's the ringleader, right? Like, he's like the...
Oh, he's king.
He's king.
He's king. Or he's king Muppet. I think he's... His Q rating through the roof.
Big Bird? Close second?
Oh, damn. Oh, man. It's between those two, though, right?
I would think.
Those are the top two. Bert and Ernie. Or excuse me, Elmo and Big Bird.
What are they? Are they people?
They're puppets, man. There's no lower half there.
How can Bert and Ernie look like more like humans? And what is Elmo? Is he just like an alien?
Man, great question.
You have a giant bird.
We're really cutting to the thick of it today. Texter, my name is Robert. Didn't know Bert was short for Robert. Thought it was just Bob, but we do call my son Robert Bert.
What?
Hold up now! If your son's name is Robert and you call him Bert, then you do know that it's short for Robert.
This is bizarre.
Having a show. Tomorrow, the Masters tees off about 7:50. We'll have Pat Bostic, big golf guy in here, going to have a party.
Ernie Els.
Yep. And then there's Cookie Monster.
What's he doing?
And now people are saying they're also not Muppets. We got to move on.
No, they're not. They're not Muppets. Muppets is like Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
Yeah,
those are Muppets. They're different. These are different. I don't know what they are. Like, what are they?
It's Sesame Street. That's what they are.
So Ray was, I think, really informative, as he always is in the last segment. He still doesn't seem convinced they're taking a quarterback at 21. I mean, because they've been linked to all these defensive linemen, and they did meet with Kenneth Grant, the Michigan guy, at the combine. I guess they had an extensive sit down with him, and they still do have 13 visits left to go. They've only had 17 of these 30 official visits, so they still could bring these defensive linemen in there.
13 visits to go.
Still 13 visits to go. Yeah, they got 13 guys they can still bring in here.
Do they bring in multiple guys in like one day?
Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah. Sometimes none, sometimes two, sometimes three.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, schedule allowing. I mean, these guys got to figure a lot of the top guys are going. And then you're throwing darts, too, because that Virginia Tech running back that they talked to, that's not a guy that's a projected first-round pick.
Mm-mm.
And they had a guy in yesterday who is a projected mid-round guy. But when you're spending this much time on the top quarterbacks, I do think it's noteworthy. And I'm a little bit surprised that Ray doesn't think there's a great chance that they take one.
I think it's also noteworthy that the Steelers may think that those two guys will be there. It's noteworthy to think that the draft is going to play out where those guys will be there. Like, who else would be there if they think that? Like, may not make sense, but like, it's telling me that like they think that they have a chance.
Well, you're right, man. It's noteworthy like when the visits get scheduled.
Yeah.
Like, is this something that they've had planned for weeks? Or now that the scuttlebutt seems to be the Browns are out on Shador and the Giants are out on Shador, well, now you're really thinking, okay, the team that makes most sense, according to Schefter and just, you know, process of elimination would be the Saints. Well, what if they don't take him? All right, well, then he might be there at 21.
Mm-hmm.
So did you just schedule it late? I should ask Ray that question. Like, when these visits happen to get scheduled.
We could ask Doug.
Yes, we could ask Doug.
He knows.
I forgot Doug was coming on from us from 9 until 10. I know it's a Wednesday and we always do that, but I've got Muppets on the brain. And people are texting in about Snuffleupagus. That's the one with the
nose.
Mm-hmm. Quite the schnoz on that guy.
Forget about Jeff Hathorn, too.
He's tomorrow.
Yeah, you forget about him tomorrow yet? Or
he did make me panic for a second.
your lips are quivering.
What damn day is it? All right, coming up next, we'll move off the Bert and Ernie talk. We'll move off the quarterback talk, albeit briefly, to talk to our main man, John Wehner, The Rock, one of the great men that we talk to on a weekly basis. The Pirates lose yesterday. Paul Skeens not himself. All right, Buccos lose last night 5-3, and probably as human as we've ever seen Paul Skeens look. And joining us now to discuss is our buddy. He's the best, The Rock, John Wehner. How you doing, Wehner?
I'm doing swell. How's everybody up there?
We're great.
We're great, and we're bummed out that it went that way for our guy Paul Skeens yesterday. What do you think went wrong for Paul? And, I mean, none of us are concerned. I don't think anybody should be concerned. Paul, after the game, certainly didn't seem concerned. But what did you see going wrong for him yesterday?
Well, I mean, it's normal Paul Skeens stuff. I mean, the first two innings, I'm thinking, it could be one of those games. If he could be efficient, how deep's he going to go? Is he going to give up any hits? And then they put together good at-bats. You know, sometimes you just credit major league hitters. You know, it's you know, a couple runners get on base, and then they had the big triple. You know, you could sit there and say he made a couple mistakes, but you know, his mistakes don't normally get hit like that. You know, for them to string hits like that, he's so good, you just don't see three hits in an inning off of him, and let alone extra base hits. And so, you know, the velocity was down just a tick, maybe a mile an hour or so, but, you know, he still averaged, you know, 97, 98 miles an hour. But, you know, the guys had some pretty good at-bats. They were pretty short to the ball. They were able to get to the mistakes he made, or, you know, the balls that are up in the zone. A lot of times you get a foul ball or a pop-up, but they actually put the ball in play and hit a few balls hard. And, you know, that you know, major league hitters, you know, despite the fact that you don't see the averages that you used to see, and, you know, guys, it's common to see guys hitting 220 in the major leagues. They're still major league hitters. And, you know, at times they're going to have your number. And I think they did a good job of putting the bat on the ball. I give them more credit than I'll fault Paul Skeens. You know, it's like I said, he has all these pitches, and they're all really good pitches. And he normally gets away with most of these pitches. And, you know, he might give up a handful of hits or whatever, but he usually spreads them out over 5, 6, 7 innings. He doesn't normally give up 3 or 4 in an inning.
Well, John, you mentioned the velocity around 97, 98 miles per hour, and that's what he's averaging, 98 miles per hour this year. And in all of his starts, he hasn't hit 100 miles per hour, which we saw a lot last year. Should that be concerning that he hasn't hit 100 miles per hour at all in any pitch this year?
That's interesting, Norm, because I noticed that, you know, in its couple of starts. You know, it is a little tick below what we've seen. Still, when you're averaging 97, 98, and, you know, it's still hard to hit. I'm not concerned. I would say if it was 95 or 96, I'd be a little concerned because, you know, that's a big drop-off. But, you know, when you're talking a half a mile or maybe a mile per hour less than what he averaged last year, it's, I just think he's human. I mean, to be able to sustain that over the course of 30-some starts, that's a lot to ask for anybody. And, I think there's still only one starting pitcher. I think Hunter Green's the only one that's averaging, velocity-wise, more than that. I think he's right at 99. So it's one of those deals where, he looks strong. He's a big bull. I think he'll be able to sustain that velocity, and that some days he might feel a little better and he'll crank it up a little bit. But I think that 100's in the tank too. He's not only just a power pitcher. He's a pitcher. He's a guy that usually locates pretty well with all those pitches. I guess the one thing, that I think about more so than the velocity is the seven pitches. How do you go about working in seven pitches? I would assume that certain starts, a couple of pitches will feel better or work better than others, and he'll kind of stick with that and go to that. But, are you trying to work in seven pitches? That's a lot. And I think, mostly it's that four-seam fastball and the splinker. I think he threw more two-seamers last night than we've seen. That's a pitch he's added this year. And, it's still good enough. You just wonder, do you really need seven when you have that kind of stuff? But, knowing him, he seems like a perfectionist that it's going to go out there and keep evolving and trying different things. And, I think it's sometimes we'll see him settle in and maybe just go with what's working best for him. But, as good as he is, he's not going to give up. I think it's the second time he's given up more than three earned runs.
Yeah.
So, it's obviously a blip on the screen, and, I'm sure he'll go out and dominate next time out.
John, do you think four runs a game is enough to sustain winning for this Pirates team?
No. It's nice to see like what happened Monday night to put a bunch of runs on the board, and we'll see that. I mean, we got guys that have track records that have hit better than what they've shown so far, and Reynolds and Cruz obviously are going to be a big part of that. And I know Reynolds had the homer double, couple RBIs last night, but he's in the low 200s. He's going to get it back up there. I think Cruz will start getting hot and impact the ball a little bit more. But you need to score more runs. You can't have pitchers out there thinking every pitch is going to be a difference in a ball game. That's why I said about Monday night, you get a nice lead and you can kind of relax and not worry about making one mistake, giving up a base hit or a home run, and losing a lead. I think that when you're scoring more runs, which hopefully they'll do, hopefully with the weather warming up, that the bats will warm up. You always think about that, earlier in the year. It's tough to hit when it's freezing cold out there. But there's too many guys in that lineup right now that are struggling. We really don't have anybody that's hot. And, then you hope that, you get four or five guys swinging the bat better, you're going to score more runs, because that takes a lot of pressure off the pitching staff, not just the starter, but certainly the bullpen. And I think we saw that the first week where, when you're in all these close games and you're using your best relievers day in, day out, it's hard to do. You're going to burn out your bullpen for one. Plus, you're going to have to give some of those guys in the bullpen time off, and then you got to use your lesser guys, the guys you don't typically use in the late innings. And so I think it kind of can snowball on you. So, the way I look at it now, most of those guys in the bullpen got rests the last couple of days. There's a day off tomorrow, so you look to have certainly a fresher bullpen, but it would be nice if when they go out there, they're pitching with a two or a three or four run lead instead of it being tied or a one run game, which is what we basically saw until this homestand.
John Wehner with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Rarely, because we've watched a lot of baseball, do you see things that you've never seen before? I can't say I've ever seen a fielder have a batting glove on his throwing hand. And that's what we saw with Tommy Pham. Have you ever seen that before?
Never. I can't even imagine what that feels like. I couldn't do it. I don't know. That's... And maybe there's certain kinds of gloves out there that are thinner or they got a little tack, but... everybody that plays position player wise, they feel the seams of the ball. I don't know how you feel the seams of the ball. I couldn't throw the ball if I didn't have, my hand, my index and middle finger over the horseshoe of the ball. I mean, You know, I had to throw the ball with the seams, and I don't know how you feel it with a glove on. Luckily for outfielders, though, it's a little different because you're not going to have to make very many throws. You might only have to make, you know, a couple of throws a game, you know, to a base where there's a runner trying to advance. Most of the time you're catching a ball and just tossing it into second base. So very rarely do you have to make, you know, an impact throw where you're trying to gun somebody down. And shoot, 10 assists a year is pretty good for an outfielder. So typically an outfielder isn't going to make very many important throws. So, yeah, but that is weird. You know, I know quarterbacks do it, but obviously that's a much bigger ball. And, yeah, with a baseball, I couldn't imagine trying to throw it without it with a glove on.
John, we appreciate your time. He also covered up the Pirate P on his hat, which I don't know that I've ever seen either. I mean, he was out there like they were in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Well, it would look pretty cold out there. I mean, that's the worst for an outfielder when it's freezing cold. I remember Three Rivers playing the outfield in the cold because the wind was a little, it felt like it swirled around. And if you had a long inning, you hated the pitcher. You absolutely hated him. Get me off the field. Let me get next to that torpedo and warm up, because the outfield, you're not moving as much as in the infield, and it's cold. So, yeah, I never noticed that either, but, you know, obviously it didn't make a difference. Like I said, hopefully it's going to heat up tonight. Today seems like a nice day, get some sunshine and everything else like that. But that's small potatoes. We need more. We need him to hit too. That's another guy, you know, that's in there almost every day. So I'm more worried about his bat getting hot than anything about, you know, the glove or the hat or anything else.
Hit the hell out of it at the end of the game. It's a nice play by the right fielder. John, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, you too. John. Talk to you next week. I'll tell you another thing. This IKF can't. I mean, he can't throw the ball across the infield.
Out of position.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays good defense, and he, if you get him in there every now and again, then fine. Like good teams need guys like IKF, but defensively, and he's hitting the ball, but defensively, he's just totally exposed playing every day at shortstop, and he did it again. He takes two steps, then there's the crow hop, and because you know he's trying to get everything he can on it, and so there have been plays that shouldn't be close that have been turned close, and then now I think he's yipsing it a little bit because he bounced the one that didn't get picked the other day, and then yesterday throws the ball 10 feet in the air. No good. Texter, missed my turn for work because I was so locked in on the Sesame Street convo. Radio Gold, send the Marconi today.
Yes.
So I said, is that sarcasm? And they said, not at all. Added 12 minutes to the drive. How about that? All right. We've got Doug Whaley coming up at 9 o'clock. A ton of stuff on Shador Sanders and more on the way. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Coming up for the next full hour of our radio program, Doug Whaley. And it's a great day to talk to Doug Whaley because it's the McAfee Big Night At. So we are waiting around still for an Aaron Rodgers decision. And also we had the breaking news yesterday. Shador Sanders going to visit the Steelers tomorrow, one of their top 30 visits. They still have 13 left to go, but they've now used a couple of them on projected first-round quarterbacks. Someone texted in telling me to chill on IKF, asking who I would rather play shortstop for the team right now. Listen, IKF is second in the entire league in errors right now. Second. He has the same amount of errors that Cruz does in center field. So that point is well taken. Like, I'm not sure that Cruz at short right now would be doing better than IKF. It was more aesthetically pleasing because he would throw the ball 100 miles an hour across the infield. And this guy, there's a hump in the damn ball. No, it's not about who should play there now. It's that they went into the offseason saying that IKF was going to be their everyday shortstop. And I'd be interested to track this throughout the season and see if IKF winds up having a similar number of errors as Cruz did. Probably not. And he does get to his fair share of balls. But, I mean, there are plays that are turning into hits, too. Yeah. It's not just the errors. Mm-hmm. It's that guys are beating out throws because he takes his sweet time because he's got to get that gas on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to get a good look at the number one error guy in the league in a couple of weeks or 10 days or so. Jose Ramirez, the third baseman for the Cleveland Guardians, he has four. IKF with three. Andy Rodriguez also with three, and Cruz with three. So
all guys out of position.
Ain't that it, dude? That
makes
that,
sense.
That's the bigger discussion. You're right about that. That's a bigger discussion. Is I'm focusing in too much on IKF here. Andy playing first, O'Neal Cruz playing center, and combined the three of them have nine errors.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's just no good. Someone also texting in saying that I shouldn't be allowed to talk sports because I didn't play in college. That's what they're saying. I don't think that's fair of me.
That's not fair.
Thank you.
That's not fair.
And then one more text.
Yep.
Oscar the Grouch went to WVU. That's why he lives in a garbage can.
That makes sense.
I'll allow that one.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Every Saturday in the fall, they just slide his can over so he can look through Bert and Ernie's window to watch the game on Fox Sports 1.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Doug Whaley coming up next. Anything else? Any other housekeeping things we need to take care of here? Oh, yeah. Wayner says that you were wrong about your little infantile argument
that you made
earlier in the show. And
I was
waiting
for you to bring it up.
You said Wayner was going to be the one to determine the victor there. So
I didn't say that in those words, but I do say that he said it way more eloquently than you said it, and it does make sense that, you know, you don't want to put the bullpen in high leverage situations all the time, and that hurts. So really all this means is that all around they're no good, and that I can get on board with that. Yes.
Dub for the crown, man.
Yeah, he got you.
Got you. Let's go. 1-0.
Well, today he got you with the torpedo.
What torpedo?
Torpedo
bucks. Oh, because all right, 1-1, damn it.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.